Chapter 10, A Lack of Differences. Landon Park Lane's eradication was the best I'd seen since Veronica Golightly's. They plucked him out and left everything else exactly as it was. Not a crude hatchet job like Churchill or Victor Borger. We got those sorted out eventually. What I never figured out was how they took him out and left her memories of him completely intact. Agreed, there would be no point to the eradication without her knowing that what she had missed. But it still intrigued me over 4 centuries later. Eradication was never an exact art. Colonel next, QT, CG, non-existent. Upstream, downstream, unpublished. I stared after their departing car, trying to figure out what to do. Finding a way into the Raven to release Jack's shit would be my first priority. It wasn't going to be hard. It was going to be impossible. It wouldn't deter me. I'd done impossible things several times in the past and the prospect didn't scare me as much as it used to. I thought of Landon and the last time I saw him, limping across to the cafe just opposite the Spec Ops building. It was going to be his birthday in 2 weeks. We planned to take the airship to Spain or somewhere hot for a break. We knew we wouldn't be able to go on holiday so easily once there was a baby. The baby! With all that had happened, I didn't know whether I was still pregnant. I jumped into my car and screeched off into town, startling a few great orcs who were picking their way through a nearby garbage can. I was heading for the doctor's surgery on Shelley Street. Every shop I passed seemed to either stock prams or high chairs, toys or something else baby-related, and all the toddlers and infants, heavily pregnant women and prams in Swindon seemed to be crowding the route, and all staring at me. I skidded to a halt outside the surgery. It was a double yellow line and a traffic warden looked at me greedily. "Hey," I said, pointing a finger at her. "Expectant mother, don't even think about it." I dashed in and found the nurse I'd seen the day before. "I was in here yesterday," I blurted out. "Was I pregnant?" She looked at me without even the least vestige of surprise. I guess she was used to this sort of thing. "Of course," she replied. "Confirmation is in the post. Are you okay?" I sat down heavily on a chair and burst into tears. The sense of relief was overwhelming. I had more than just Landon's memories. I had his child, too. I rubbed my face with my hands. I'd been in a lot of difficult and dangerous life-or-death situations, both in the military and law enforcement, but nothing even comes close to the tribulations of emotion. I'd face Hades again twice rather than go through that little charade again. "Yes, yes," I assured her happily. "I really couldn't be better." "Good," beamed the nurse. "Is there anything else you'd like to know?" "Yes, actually," I replied. "Tell me, where do I live?" The shabby block of flats in the old town didn't look like my sort of place, but who knows where I might be living without Landon. I trotted briskly up the stairs to the top landing in flat 6. I took a deep breath, unlocked and opened the door. There was a brief scrabble of activity from the kitchen and Pickwick was there to greet me as usual, bearing a gift that turned out to be the torn cover of last month's Spec Ops 27 Gazette. I closed the door with my foot as I tickled her under the chin and looked cautiously about. I was relieved to discover that despite the shabby exterior, my apartment was south-facing, warm and quite comfortable. I couldn't remember a thing about any of it, of course, but I was glad to see that Pickwick's egg was still in residence. I walked softly around the flat, exploring my new surroundings. It seemed I painted a lot more without Landon about, and the walls were covered with half-finished canvases. There were several of Pickwick and the family which I could remember painting, and a few others that I couldn't, but none, sadly, of Landon. I looked at the other canvases and wondered why several included images of amphibious aircraft. I sat on the sofa, and when Pickwick came up to nuzzle me, I put my hand on her head. "Oh, Pickers," I murmured. "What shall we do?" I sighed, tried to get Pickwick to stand on one leg with the promise of a marshmallow. Failed, then made a cup of tea and something to eat before searching the rest of the apartment in an inquisitive sort of way. Most things were where I would expect to find them. There were more dresses in the closet than usual, and I even found a few copies of Female stashed under the sofa. The fridge was well stocked with food, and it seemed that in this non-Landon world I was a vegetarian. There were a lot of things that I couldn't remember ever having acquired, including a table light shaped like a pineapple, a large enamel sign advertising Dr. Spong's foot care remedies, And, slightly more worryingly, a size 12 pair of socks in the laundry and some boxer shorts. I rummaged further and found two toothbrushes in the bathroom, a large Swindon Mallets jacket on the hook, and several extra-extra-large size T-shirts with Spec Ops 14 Swindon written on them. I called Bowden straight away.
"Hello, Thursday," he said. "Have you heard? Professor Spoon has given his 100% backing to Cardenio. I've never heard him actually laugh before."
"That's good, that's good," I said absently. "Listen, this might seem an odd question, but do I have a boyfriend?"
"A what?"
"A boyfriend, you know, a male friend I see on a regular basis for dinner and picnics and thingy, you know."
"Thursday, are you okay?"
I took a deep breath and rubbed my neck.
"No, no, I'm not,"
I gabbled. "You see, my husband was eradicated this afternoon. I went to see SO1, and just before I went in, the walls changed colour and Stig talked funny and Flanker didn't know I was married, which I'm not, I suppose, and then Howson didn't know me and Bilden wasn't in the cemetery, but Landon was, and Goliath said they'd bring him back if I got jack shit out, and I thought I'd lost Landon's baby, which I haven't, so everything was fine, and now it's not fine anymore because I've found an extra toothbrush and some men's clothes in my flat."
"Okay, okay," said Bowden in a soothing voice. "Slow down a bit and just let me think."
There was a pause as Bowden mulled all this over. When he answered, his voice was tinged with urgency and concern. I knew he was a good friend, but until now I never knew how good.
"Thursday, calm down and listen to me. Firstly, we keep this to ourselves. Eradication can never be proved. Mention this to any at Spec Ops and the quacks will enforce your retirement on a Form D4. We don't want that. I'll try and fill you in with any lost memories I might have that you don't. What was the name of your husband again?"
"Landon." I found strength in his approach. You could always rely on Bowden to be analytical about a problem, no matter how strange it might seem. He made me go over the day again in more detail, something that I found very calming. I asked him again about a possible boyfriend.
"I'm not sure," he replied. "You're kind of a private person."
"Come on. Office rumours, Spec Ops gossip, there must be something."
"There is some talk, but I don't hear a lot of it, since I'm your partner. Your love life is a matter of some quiet speculation. They call you..."
He went quiet. "What do they call me, Bowden?"
"You don't want to know."
"Tell me."
"All right," sighed Bowden.
They call you the Ice Maiden."
"The Ice Maiden?"
"It's not as bad as my nickname," continued Bowden.
"I'm known as Dead Dog."
"Dead Dog?" I repeated, trying to sound as though I'd not heard it before. "Ice Maiden, eh? It's kind of, well, corny. Couldn't they think of something better? Anyway, did I have a boyfriend or not?"
"There was a rumour of someone over at SO14.
I held up the croquet jacket, trying to figure out how tall this unnamed beau might be. "Do we have a positive ID?"
"I think it's only a rumour, Thursday."
"Tell me, Bowden."
"Miles," he said at last. "His name's Miles Hawke."
"Is it serious?"
"I have no idea. You don't talk about these things to me."
I thanked him and put the phone down nervously, butterflies dancing in my stomach. I knew I was still pregnant, but the trouble was, who was the father? If I had a casual boyfriend named Miles, then perhaps it wasn't Landon's after all. I called my mother, who seemed more interested in putting out a fire on the kitchen stove than in talking to me. I asked her when she last met one of my boyfriends, and she said that if memory served, not for at least 6 years. And if I didn't hurry up and get married, she was going to have to adopt some grandchildren, or steal some from outside Tesco's, whichever was easier. I told her I would go out and look for one as soon as possible, and put the phone down. I paced the room in a flurry of nerves. If I hadn't introduced this Miles bloke to Mum, then it was quite likely he wasn't that serious. Yet if he did leave his gear here, then it undoubtedly was. I had an idea and rummaged in the bedside table and found a packet of unopened condoms which were 3 years out of date. I breathed a sigh of relief. This did sound more like me, unless Miles brought his own, of course. But then if I had a bun in the oven, then finding them was immaterial, as we didn't use them. Or perhaps the clothes weren't Miles at all. And what about my memories?
If they had survived, then surely Landon's share in junior-to-be had also survived. I sat down on the bed and pulled out my hair tie. I ran my fingers through my hair, flopped backwards, covered my face and groaned, long and loud.